Julia. Welcome to the Remote Edition podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. On this podcast, we bring you the latest from the world of remote work. We share stories from people working remotely from all over the world, whether they're entrepreneurs, digital nomads, freelancers, people who have remote jobs, or even people that run co-working spaces. We are sharing their stories. Whether you're already working remotely, whether you're thinking about it, or even managing a distributed team, this podcast is for you. A little bit of background about me and why I'm doing this. So I spent 6 years working in corporate sales roles in London, including the largest investment bank in the world, a San Francisco fintech unicorn. Despite these being quite impressive companies to work for a lot of people, I always felt like something was missing. And I did a lot of soul searching and asking myself why I felt like this. And I realized I just hated going into the office every single day. I became so bored of being in the same place, cramming in my holiday to 25 days. And I kept asking myself why we needed to do this when technology allows us to work from anywhere. The routine started to really get me down, so I did a lot of personal growth work and ultimately decided to take the risk, quit my job, start a podcast, and move to Bali to explore the world of remote work. And what I discovered in Bali absolutely amazed me. There are entire communities of super, super smart and talented people working and living remotely from all over the world, all doing different things and actually excited about their work. And most of them had left huge corporate jobs because they were restricted to staying in one place. From then on, I became obsessed with this way of working. It opens up so many opportunities for you to travel, spend more time with loved ones, or just do more things that you love whilst being more productive and generally happier. It also levels the playing field for global talent, which I think is something that can really change the economic landscape, solve issues in overpopulated cities, and ultimately contribute to reducing global inequality. And I just think this is so amazing. So I want to help more people take advantage of this incredible way of working. And through my guest stories, you will learn all about how they came to work remotely and the tips you can take into your own career and business. So as some of you may have seen on my Instagram, we have had a bit of a rebrand and we are now called the Remote Edition. And the reason behind this is because we have some exciting things coming over and above just a podcast. So if you want to stay updated, head over to the Remote Edition Instagram. It's at the Remote Edition. You'll hear all of the updates on there. So this week we're joined by Sasha Wynn. He's originally from Austria, but currently living in Bali. Sasha is a qualified doctor. He started out as a dentist, became a dental surgeon, and he found that he got chronic migraines and back pain as a dentist. So he decided to quit the industry to travel the world and decide what he wanted to do. And he eventually landed in Bali and founded an events and lifestyle community called Big Tribe. So Big Tribe is a community of like-minded, positive people who want to connect and help each other out, really. And I love how Sasha places a lot of emphasis on the principle of ignoring things like titles and revenue size, and this kind of old school hierarchical thinking that we're all trying to get away from by living this kind of digital nomad life. Lots of us have got fed up with that kind of way of working and that kind of way of recognizing people back in our cities. So it's really nice that Sasha's placed that kind of emphasis on ignoring all of that in his community and really just bringing together positive people from all walks of life who are successful in their own right. And we chat all about how to start and grow a community, how to organize an event, and also we talk a lot about why mindset is so important for happiness and business and success. This episode has a lot of actionable tips about working remotely and building a community, and I hope that you enjoy it. Welcome, Sasha. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. It would be great to start with a little bit of an introduction to yourself for the listeners.
Sure thing, Susie. Thanks for having me. So my name is Sasha Wynn. I used to be a doctor and dentist. Mm-hmm. I studied that for a long time, you know, medicine, 5.5 years, worked as a maxillofacial surgeon. Then I finished my dental degree, another 3 years, and then decided that the hospital is not for me because of all the restrictions I felt I was having in a hospital. You are so dependent on somebody else giving you the education as a doctor. So it's not that you go, like, I'm from Austria, so you're not going in a hospital and you have a fixed curriculum to get your education as a doctor. It's more about how well do you know hire a doctor who likes you and then just takes you in and just teaches you. So if you don't have that, you're not becoming as good as a surgeon as somebody else, because it's not like you can learn that. You have to do surgery, right? So I decided, okay, now I don't like the hospital, I don't like the restrictions, I don't like the power games which are played in there, the nurses against the doctors and the management and all that stuff. So finished dentistry, which is obligatory to be a maxillofacial surgeon, but then I decided, you know what, dentistry sounds much better. You go in an office and you're more or less your own boss. And depending on how much you work, how hard you learn, the more difficult treatments you can do. So I really liked that, resonated with that, and just thrived on that one. You know, it just got more and more complicated stuff done easier, faster and earlier. Years already before, like the moment I finished medicine with 26, I started to have more migraines. Like I always had headaches. When I was 11, 10, they started, but then with 26, when I finished medicine, the migraines really took off.
Wow, okay.
And working as a doctor in a hospital as a maxillofacial surgeon, already had major migraines, attacks for weeks and to come, took a lot of pills, and then in dentistry school, they didn't get better, you know, it just got worse, because, you know, you don't earn money in dentistry school, so I had a job on the side, girlfriend, all that stuff.
Do you think it was stress related then?
Back then, I thought it was stress related. But I looked into a little bit more stuff. But I had no experience in practical, how do you say, medicine. That's the issue, I think, with the common curriculum on universities and medical universities. You get taught so much, but so much is just book knowledge which you cannot really use.
So hard to apply, kind of.
Yeah, so I'm big on applying, right? If you don't do something, you don't learn it. If you don't speak it, you don't know it. I asked my colleagues, right, hey, what do you think about my migraines, what do you think about my back pain, and what do people think about my foot pain? And they found easy solutions for that one. And I looked at my posture while I was working in dental school, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrific. And I always gave it the excuse that, you know, when you're a beginner, then you have bad posture sitting there working. As soon as you get better, your posture gets much better. And once your posture gets much better, my migraines will also get much better and manageable. But that day never came. I finished dental school, finally made money, so the financial stress was gone. I had expensive loops on my eyes, so I could have more distance to the patient. So I had a perfect assistant. I had a really good office, which I was working from a friend's office in. So everything was actually perfect, but migraines didn't go away. Each week I had 2-3 migraines, took major pills. And then I realized, okay, this is not working. And I was 27 at that time when I found out, oh my God. Oh, wait, 27, sorry. 29 at that time, because finished medicine, worked as a maxillofacial surgeon, finished dentistry, worked as a dentist, and then halfway, after like 8 months in dentistry, I'm like, okay, this is not working. I'm 28, 29 now, and I have major pain and I cannot control them. Like a physiotherapist, I paid a lot of money for physiotherapist, and they just didn't give me any solution.
But how did that kind of feel? Because I always think about, my sister does medicine as well, so I kind of have this insight, but after studying and dedicating so much of your life towards something and then it doesn't work out, or it's not what you thought it was, how does that feel? Because it must be quite a tough thing to deal with.
Yeah, so that was the biggest challenge. And because I'm half Persian, and if you're half Persian, you get brought up with, okay, medicine is the pinnacle.
Yeah.
So in Iran is, I've never been to Iran, I don't speak Farsi, it's just what I, you know, talk to relatives. If you're if you study medicine in Iran, you're the smartest of the smartest. So that's why if you study medicine, your parents are super proud of you. So I finished dentistry, finished dentistry. So I had two doctors. So like everybody in my family and my relatives, oh my God, such a good kid. We're so proud as a family of him. And then, you know, I find out that I cannot work this job. It's just not working out. And now I'm 29. So everybody else who didn't go to college is now 10 years into their jobs. They're making money. They're having family. They're buying houses, building houses. And I'm here, no money, because I just worked for 6 months with 29. And the job, which could pay me a lot of money. So I earned a decent amount of money. So I didn't have any issues with on my bank account at the moment. But I knew it's not sustainable. I cannot do this forever. I have so much fear of popping a disc on my spine that I cannot do this forever. So I was trying to look into other things. And then I realized I have no tangible skills for the open market. Nothing I could think about what to do. Like, oh, have a business idea, try to start this business idea. And like, I don't know what a business idea is. I don't know how anything works, how to sell anything, no idea about nothing. And personal development, no idea about that one. The only personal development I got into because was a pickup artistry, because that's so funny because a lot of people see that as a negative thing, but I see that as a really positive thing in terms of you learn a lot about psychology. I've always was fascinated about psychology. As you know, if you watch a lot of videos or read about this stuff, it's so much about psychology. It's not only about, you know, how to approach women, it's about how to approach other people, how to talk to a group of people, how to make yourself likable to other people in job, with your family, with your friends, with new people who just come into your life. So I didn't know it, but that was my first touch to personal development. And okay. I should have gone way further back then already, but you know, that didn't happen. What I thought which would work is I took a sabbatical year, so I went traveling for 13 months, took my backpack, went to South Central and North America.
And with that, so when you did that sabbatical, was that like literally a sabbatical so you could come back to the job?
It was a sabbatical. It was a sabbatical for me to finally see the things I wanted to see in my life, which is South America and Central America, but also to talk to other people, find other people and see, find another job.
Yeah, but so essentially, had you quit at that point or had you chatted to them and you could come back after a year?
I quit.
But how much of a risk? Okay, so you fully quit.
I mean, quit the office, but I was still a dentist. I was still registered in Austria, so I was just, it was easy to come back.
Got you. Okay, so where did you go and what did you do? And did you kind of have an agenda or did you just go and see what happened?
Yeah, I just went, and that was the biggest issue. Like, it was great to see places and tick them off my bucket list, but then also in the back of my head was, you're just wasting money. You're not earning anything while you're doing it. You're just spending money. Why is there no way for me to earn something while I'm on the road? And I met some digital nomads who made some money, but never somebody who is like, yeah, like I run whatever Facebook ads on the side. I make 2-4k a month easily, and I'm actually, this is my life. The most people I met were lost, and that's like me. I was totally lost, and I went backpacking and went to those cheaper places, and then I met like-minded people who are also lost in life and tried to find something. So my understanding was, okay, backpackers are lost. And I don't find anybody here to really talk to and elevate my mindset.
Like almost role models and to see the path of what you could do. So where did you actually go during this year?
13 months. I went from New York to Toronto, Cuba, Costa Rica, Panama, all the way down to Argentina, Galapagos Islands, Brazil, Colombia.
What was your favorite?
Brazil, Colombia, Mexico are definitely the favorites.
Yeah,
100%.
I need to do some South America.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's not so dangerous than a lot of people think. So a lot of women don't travel there because they're afraid that it's dangerous. If you have dangerous places, so you don't go there. But if you stick with the gringo route, which is, you know, all the foreigners take. So if you stick with the gringo route, then it's easy. You know,
yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you say that it was quite difficult to find these people who were kind of making decent money whilst traveling that you hear about. So was that during the duration of the sabbatical, or did you end up finding something at some point?
I had one business idea and I was thinking about it for months, but then I just found out I cannot do it. I have no idea about that business. So the biggest tip I have for people listening is, if you are lost and you don't know what to do, actually find a digital nomad hub like Lisbon or Bali.
Yeah.
Come here or go there, go in a co-working space and just talk with people and go to all those workshops. And the only thing you do is talk with people and listen to what they do.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that person who goes in chats and resonates with people in chats on a digital basis. I resonate with people if I meet them offline and then online.
Yeah.
So when I came to Bali about 14 months ago, I was in crypto back then, and then I had to cut off crypto and had to find a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I just went out all the time, not out to drink or anything, because I stopped drinking 2.5 years ago, but workshops, seminars, and not only the normal ones where you sit there and listen and take notes from somebody, but also all those crazy stuff here in Bali where it's like breath work, meditation, whatever it is, right? You meet... what I found out for myself is I connect with people much more on meetups, which are a little bit off, which are not the normal ones. So if you go to a workshop where somebody is standing in front of 30 people and presenting about this new way to blog or how to make money on Facebook ads, I'm not connecting with anybody in the room. But if you go to a smaller setup where there's also something else involved, let's say some meditation or some whatever, trying to network with each other, connecting thing, which is big in Bali, you know, authentic relating, whatever it is. Suddenly you go to multiple of the events, you see the same people again, and now you become friends because now you know those guys are serious about their business and they want to network and they want to connect with other people and they don't want to go drinking. And that's how what I found out in Bali is suddenly I got to speak to amazing people who are making so much money or are so happy with their job and just don't want to make more money. And I talked what they're doing. And then finally I'm like, okay, now I start to understand this digital or digital marketing or how to make money online, what's possible and how they're doing it. And for me especially, is the most important thing is how you struggled. Like, it's easy to say, oh, make money with Facebook ads. Good. Or make money with dropshipping. But what was the struggle to get there? What was your learning curve? Like, everything has a learning curve. I cannot just go on Shopify and sell stuff and make money.
Yeah.
You know, there's a steep learning curve and most likely I will lose money. So just tell me how much you lost before you made money.
Exactly. And also anything that you're going to try is going to have the struggle, like you say. So you kind of want to understand the result or the end outcome to know to pick which struggle you want to go through, if that makes sense.
That's totally true. Everything is a struggle. Just pick yours.
Yeah.
Think about what are you good at or what kind of struggle you want to endure. I just read David Goggins' Can't Hurt Me. And it's the same thing, right? Everybody, we have to go through uncomfortness to find success. And that's, I loved what he said is, if it would be easy, everybody would do it. And then you have a lot of competition. So if it's uncomfortable, not many will do it. So if you go through the uncomfortness, you will come out on the other side stronger. Plus you will have less competition and it's much like more likely you will have success.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to just pick up on something that you just said about meeting people, because this really resonates with me. So I moved here back in October, and I'd say comparing like making friends in London to making friends in Bali is totally different. And I felt like in London, I was so narrow-minded, like, right, who are my kind of people that like the same thing as me? And like, if they didn't, I'm like, oh, not really my kind of people. But here, the kind of common link is most people are trying to like achieve a level of happiness, or they're trying to work on their business, but they could be into so many different things. Like, you've got like super spiritual people, and then you've got some like super techie people over here, but it could all bundle in together. And I think what's nice in Bali is that if you come here with an open mind of like embracing, yeah, okay, maybe you've never been to this like ecstatic dance stuff before, just maybe go and just like have an open mind, and you might like meet someone or enjoy something that you didn't think that you'd like. And I think going back to your advice to everybody listening, if you want to start a business but you don't know what it is, I think that's a really good way of doing it. Go and doing things that are out of your comfort zone, chatting to people, just have experiences and just open your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes goes perfectly actually in what I'm doing right now. Just jump a little bit there. I'm now building a business community.
Yeah.
Here, an international business community starting in Bali. And it all started like 8 months ago, or mm-hmm. say 8 months ago, when I said, you know what, what I did before with crypto didn't work. I did 4 months of, you know, going to seminars and meeting people and talking to people and, you know, getting all those positive mindsets and positive affirmations here in Bali into my system. And then came up the idea of, you know what, a good quality event is missing here with a lot of workshops in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what, I'm leaving Bali for summer break in 3 weeks. You know what, I just do it. I don't care if I'm not doing it right now, I will never do it. Mm-hmm. And that's my mindset. That's how I work. I'm work best on pressure. So last minute things.
Yeah, me too.
So that's, I pulled it off out of, like, I never organized an event like this before. And so I just did it. It worked. People here supported. That's also the community part here is amazing, right? I had already met in the last 7 months I was here. I met so many people, like hundreds of people. They were all in my WhatsApp or Facebook. Yeah. And what I did was I just personally wrote 100 people. Hey, come on to my event. I hope you're coming. Support it. Do you get a discount?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, sure, Sasha. We're going to support you because, you know, we're a community. You do something new. We support, right?
Yeah.
It gives a little bit of ticket price. It's okay. It looks good. And then, you know, they came and they were blown away. It worked out really well.
Amazing.
And everybody came do me a favor, but they left, but oh, holy, that's works. That's great. When is the next one? Then it spiraled from there. I did 5 in total so far. Now it became clear to me a month later that I need to create a community around it. So that's what I started learning, how to create community, looked into way more stuff in community. And I always wanted to be part of an amazing community for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I always looked into this, you know, invite only stuff in Austria, but they were so right wing.
Yeah.
That's, I couldn't, like, I'm half Persian, half Austrian. I cannot go into a right wing alcohol drinking fraternity like thing. Doesn't work for me.
There's quite a few of those, like, join this exclusive club, like, in London, you know, for the people that went to the elite unis and stuff, and it's just not my vibe.
Absolutely. Like, why, you know, if a carpenter who is renovating apartments and now owns 3-4 apartments and has his own company like this, like, this is an amazing person I want to be surrounded with. I don't need to have only university degree people, right?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so it all depends. What kind of personality you are. So that's the community I want to create. My community, it's called the Big Tribe. And here in Bali, it's called Big Tribe Bali. We have the global part is Big Tribe World. Now we're going in other places. Netherlands is the next stop. Zurich is the next stop. Panama City. Like, people who were here in Bali and experienced the community aspect of what I'm creating is they're like, I want to create the same thing in my city. Like, can you help me create this in my city? And say, of course.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's grow it international. Let's make it worldwide and help you be a leader in your community. And this I just realized that so many people have the same craving as I am.
Yeah.
I have just be part of something real and not something transient. Like, there are communities here in Bali, but most of them are from co-working spaces.
Yeah.
And as soon as you are not a member of the co-working space, you're more or less out.
Yeah.
And then also, if I go back to London or Austria, like, this is just in Bali, you know?
Yeah.
What if I'm never going back to Bali? Like, then this community I spent the last 6-8 months with is just gone.
Yeah.
So that's why, why don't I create a business and life community with the values I like, which is honesty, growth, purpose driven, and try to surround myself with the most amazing humans I want to be surrounded with for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think that's amazing, definitely.
Yeah.
So I want to dive a little bit deeper on the start. So you mentioned that you started your first event and you kind of put it on within 3 weeks, which I think is great. And another tip for the listeners, you know, if you have something you want to do, you've just got to try and go for it. But how did you think about, so you're like, right, I'm going to do an event. How did you think about what you were going to put into the event and why you were doing it and kind of what the agenda was?
I looked into one concept. It's called, going a little bit back, I went into to get out of dentistry back then because I was so much in pain and I couldn't work more because I was so much in migraines and I didn't have any money left. So I did had to find something else. So I was lucky in 2017, I found Bitcoin at a decent time. And I just said, you know what, this looks like the dot-com bubble 1999. This looks crazy. Let's jump all in, like freaking all in. If it doesn't work out, I go back into dentistry and make some money. So I won't be bankrupt. And it worked out for me. And then I said, you know what, this is my new industry. I like it. It seems like the future. Everything will be on the blockchain. Let's just jump in. And I found companies to work for. And I found them in conferences. So I went to two big conferences and I found three companies to want to work with me because I spent 12 hours a day on the computer just going into crypto and just trying to make sense of all this stuff.
So right? Were you consulting with them? Yes. Okay, because of your knowledge. Okay, got
exactly.
It.
So I spent like 4 months just nonstop on the computer, taking pills and for my migraines and stuff because I stopped dentistry. I quit my job as a dentist, went full-time crypto. But headaches didn't stop because, of course, you're 12 hours a day on the computer, super stressful, price up and downs, like losses, gains, it's crazy. Anyway, those conferences, then it paid off that I spent so much time on the computer. I had knowledge they didn't know about those guys. So they hired me and I told them, okay, what I want from you is just send me to the next conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't pay me much, just pay me little, but I want to go to the next conference. And I had the Gary Vee approach back then. And I started, you know, looking into all this personal development then for the last couple of months. And Gary Vee just resonated with me so much. And he said, you know, put out stuff for free, do stuff for free for people. And I told those guys, okay, I work for you, but, you know, pay me little, but send me to South Korea to this big conference where everybody is.
I love that idea.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then I went to 24 conferences in 2018. And all those conferences, I had so much back pain. I had like 500-600 business cards. It made all no sense to me. So, you know, I never listened, hardly ever listened to any keynote because I was just networking all the time outside and trying to find the right person for the company I was working for. It was just insane and nonsense.
Mm.
So fast forward then. So I quit blockchain in February 2019. And in May 2019, I decided to do this event because I saw, there's not a real good networking and knowledge event here in Bali. So and all those events I went to, conferences I went to in crypto, I said, you know what, I just do it differently. There's this concept of unconference concept, which is around since the 90s. I just integrate it here in Bali. So what I do is I make small groups of mastermind groups about a certain topic, and there will be like 5 to 15, the maximum 20 people per group. In between, we're having certain breaks, we're gonna have some connection things going on at the beginning, so everybody's not just like in the beginning when you come to my event, you'd get to know each other. It's not this thing about, okay, everybody just sit down wherever, I don't care where you sit down, we're gonna start the talk in 5 minutes. You come in, you get introduced with some people, you immediately make some friendships, you feel more connected with somebody already. And that's why everybody's here to meet new people and to learn something. And that was the game. That was the thing. I said, okay, I'm going to exactly do that. And people loved it afterwards. They came up with new friendships, with new business ideas, with new partnerships. I have success stories of people writing books afterwards.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I always think that sometimes when I go to these events, like at co-working spaces as well, I've gone with the intention to just meet people. I'm not really that interested in the content sometimes, and it's just sometimes there's such a missed opportunity, especially for other people in the room who are quite shy, when they don't, well, the facilitator doesn't create a space where it's easy to just speak to the other person, especially with this British culture, we're always a bit awkward, and I feel like the leader of the event can make it so much easier by just like facilitating, holding that space, to make it easier for people to chat. But it sounds like you've definitely picked up on that, and that's something really important during your events.
Yeah, and that's what you just said. Holding the space and the facilitator can facilitate this. He's not an event host. Now the event host is a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned here in Bali, right? This creating space, holding space.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
But here it makes so much sense and it's so important. Like, let's say you have a conflict with your business partner, you know, and now you're like, okay, we need to talk about this topic. Maybe we go into a fight. And maybe afterwards we hate each other, you know.
Yeah.
We are friends now, but maybe in 2 hours we freaking hate each other.
Yeah.
But now, if you create a space between you and your business partner by telling them, hey, we have to talk about this topic, but I'm afraid that I lose you as a friend and we're gonna fight.
Yeah.
But let's create a space between us where, you know, we can say openly what we don't like about the situation and how to address the situation, and everything which will be said in the next 2 hours. We don't take personally.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's heated, if we insult each other, it's just the heated. It's just about this argument, nothing else.
Yeah.
And if you create this space right from the start, you know, afterwards, after this heated discussion, you know, you can come back and maybe pick up the phone 5 hours later and say, hey, buddy, that was a tough discussion what we had there. And the same with an event, you know, the facilitator or the event host can create a space for people to get to know each other, connect with each other, tell them, hey, what I do in my events, I tell everybody, look around you. People, you think everybody in this room is maybe better than you or has their shit together.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
And you have to present yourself as this amazing entrepreneur and you have your shit together and you make so much money and there's no problem in your business. But everybody in this room is here because they're having a problem in their business.
Mm-hmm.
They are good at in something, but they also have a problem. They're here to solve this problem. Otherwise, they wouldn't be at those events.
Yeah.
You know? Now go with this mindset in and talk of you know something amazing and you go with the mindset of helping somebody else. So if you get introduced to a new person, you just ask, how can I help you? What's your pain point in your business? And maybe I can help you. And if the other person is doing the same, suddenly something magical will happen. Everybody can help each other.
Yeah.
And this is about this creating space, facilitating an event and really helping introverts, especially like
mm-hmm.
you said, introverts at an event, they hate it. Why would an introvert go to a big conference?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, but they have something to offer as well. So it's kind of like a shame, you know. Okay, so on this podcast, I really like to focus on how people got started. So a lot of people listening would be people who are in corporate jobs that really want to start businesses, but they don't actually know where to start. They know the end result, but they're like, what do I do? So with your event, like, can you talk through sort of, so if there's someone out there that really loves events and is thinking about starting an event-based business, what are the first few steps that you did to take it from concept to actual, like, real life? And I guess, like, what are the biggest kind of challenges of putting on an event?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I have to say, like, I'm not out of the, you know, I'm not in the total green. So
yeah.
I'm not there where I say, okay, everything's working and the business is running well. So I'm still in the absolute face of this. The proof of concept is there, people love it, but now let's make it in a way that it's super sustainable and it's around for the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
So look at your biggest expenses, which is a room and catering.
Yeah.
So people love to be in a beautiful place, which makes sense, you know, where they're comfortable and it's not loud, you know, and they can interact with a lot of people and they want to have some good food.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your biggest expenses. So what I did is I partnered with the space, which is a co-working space, and they loved me to have them to host an event there and bring 85 people.
Yeah, because then it's business potentially for them as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they had little business expenses, but now the brand recognition was just amazing. Of course, age of Instagram, you just tell them also, hey, we get so many impressions on Instagram. It's not only 80 people arrive here, but now suddenly thousands of impressions, so your business can take off afterwards.
Yes, so true.
So this is one thing which I realized. Of course, I just went in there with a PowerPoint presentation, try to make myself as professional as possible with my vision of the whole thing, and they loved it and said, let's do it. So they were quite a new co-working space. Now they're full, also because of my events, I think.
Nice.
And
which one was it?
Tropical Nomad.
Oh yeah, I hear a lot about them these days.
Yeah. So not many people were there before I came in, and that's the tip, right? Look for a space who need people who don't have reach.
Yeah.
All those co-working spaces, they're fighting to get some sort of reach on social media.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get out there. And if you tell them, you don't have to pay anything,
mm-hmm.
you only have to support me the room.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to pay any ad spend on Facebook or some whatever you do to get brand recognition. Just give me the room for free and give me your stuff for free, you know, and people can pay some coffee or whatever you sell there.
Yeah.
So you can make some money. And then you have zero cost for the space. Next step is catering. And for catering, it's hard to get them to give you a discount or anything. So that's an expense you have to most likely take.
Okay.
If you're good in finding sponsors, then amazing. I'm not good in finding sponsors. I'm really bad in reaching out to people and telling them how amazing my brand is, especially at the beginning, you're not.
Yeah.
So that's why you have to have a ticket price. And that's... you have to, I put a ticket price on it which is undervalued. Really, really important. Don't overvalue your event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in London and a normal event is £100, so let's do it for 60.
Okay.
But that is the normal price. But then you give all of your friends, you give a discount.
Mm-hmm.
All your friends, they love to support you, but as soon as they have to put in money to come support you, they will back out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell them, hey, I would love to, and give them a personal message. Tip number one, give them a personal message, invite them all personally. Tip number two, give them all discounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you have an event and you want to get in 50 people, send out 200 messages. And tell everyone, hey, Susie, I'm having this new event. I think you saw it already on Facebook. I invited you. I would love to have you there. It would be definitely cool for you. And because you're a friend of mine, of course, I get to give you a discount. You get the friend's price. Hey, here's the code. If you want some more information, just hit me up.
Yeah.
And you do that. And suddenly, Susie, you're like, okay, Sasha, I support you. And 2 days before the event, somebody asks you, hey, Susie, what are you doing on Sunday? Oh, I'm going to this amazing event, you know, what Sasha is organizing. And then your friends are like, cool, can I join? Yeah, sure, you can get a ticket. Maybe I can even get you a discount ticket from Sasha.
Yeah.
And that's how I did with my first event.
Mm-hmm.
And I got like 30 people RSVP'd before, like 2 days before. And the last 2 days, 50 other people came.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that's such a good... that's such good advice, to just remember this network effect from your friends. And what's behind the undervaluing the ticket price? Is that kind of because it's your first one, you want to make sure it's a success, you don't necessarily have the brand behind you with your first one to command the average? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, and that's also what I realized. Like, a lot of people out there maybe want to do something like this. That's why I'm now creating a brand, like I said, a proper international business community, business and life community, how I call it. It's called Big Tribe. And if you, for example, are sitting now in London or sitting in Manchester or wherever you're listening and your city is decent, big enough, and you want to create a similar event, or just want to create a business community, you can just reach out to me. And we can set up the Big Tribe in your city. Like, it has no costs involved. It's free. I just help you set up the tribe there. And now you can market your events, your whatever social events you meet in a pub. But the pub meeting should be also more about business, you know, to network.
Yeah.
Or you set up a dinner, or you set up an entrepreneur breakfast, or even you want to set up a networking afternoon with some connection elements, you know, facilitating creating space where you can charge way more, especially in places like London. You can easily charge a couple of hundred quids for that. So if somebody wants to organize that, I can help with that. So that's what I'm doing right now in Netherlands and in Auckland, New Zealand. So that's what so if somebody doesn't know how to do that, I can help facilitate that.
Yeah.
And like this, we can all be part of this amazing business community.
Yeah.
And also you can be the leader in your city, which enables you to so much more business.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, for example, if you're a consultant for CEOs, right? For whatever mindset, or you want to have solo entrepreneurs, you want to be a business coach for them. You take my brand, bring it to your city, start growing a community of entrepreneurs, and then you target those people, of course, specifically on LinkedIn or on Facebook, and you make events more for them. So now everybody comes to your event because they want to be part of this international business community, but then they start asking you, hey, Susie, what is actually your real business?
Yeah.
You know? And now it's a different different sales strategy, a different talk with those people, because they come up to you without you being pushy and having to introduce yourself to 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now you got everybody knows you already. And if you do multiple events, let's say 5 to 10 events, everybody loves you and sees you as an amazing human being. And if they maybe need an advice for business, you're the first person who comes up in their head.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get business. You know,
it's
you get
kind
clients.
Of like the leadership thing. I think that's a great opportunity. And for anyone interested, I'll be posting all the links in the show notes if you want to contact Sasha. So we're kind of coming up to time already, but that's an amazing insight into the business that you're building and kind of the mission that you have. So thank you for sharing that. I want to just ask a last question, because obviously you now live in Bali, and I would like you to kind of give the listeners a bit of an insight into your life here and what a typical day looks like, because it's going to be a lot different to what they're used to.
Yeah. I mean, there's no typical big day in Bali,
mm-hmm.
but this is, of course, if you come out of a 9-to-5, 8-to-4, whatever job it is, you have a fixed structure. So
yeah.
If you're trying to start your own business or your side hustle, you have to manage your time much better. Like you could sleep in every day. You could go out every day if you're building your own business, or you quit your job and you have some savings and you tell yourself, oh, I have 6 months now to build a business. Suddenly you can't go into this rut of just, you know, wasting time. So that's a big issue here in Bali, especially if you're working on your stuff and there's so many workshops and so many things to do,
mm-hmm.
that you can get lost in that stuff. And so every day it's a little bit of not a struggle, because I love what I do now. So I want to work on the things I'm doing. So I'm trying to work as much as possible, because I just want to build it as fast as possible. Typical day is, yeah, it's just, it's,
yeah,
that's the thing. Like, it's when I came to Bali, a lot of honeymoon phase of going out and meeting people and going to workshops, and from ecstatic dance, as you said, to breathwork, to acro yoga, to CrossFit, to surfing, to tantra. What it's so much. And then now I'm just taking myself out of all this stuff.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and going to the co-working space, working there, having meetings with people, and trying to get more productive, getting into a morning routine, getting into more healthy postures. I finally found the reason why I have these migraines. So I'm still suffering on migraines, because of course it's building up a new business. It's again stress.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting again in front of the computer.
Yeah.
And it's again a lot of migraines, but now I finally found a solution. I'm going more into health related posture and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, that's really good news.
But the good thing about Bali is I'm a big fan about time saving. So here I don't cook. I never need to go cook. I save so much time about not going grocery shopping. There's no commuting.
Yeah.
I have a 5 minute motor scooter ride to everything, so if any meeting it's like 5 to 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
I save so much time in my life. I can get so much more done if I want to, but it's also easy to just waste time a lot. What I could tell, so if I could wrap it up with like giving a couple of tips for everybody out there who feels like, okay, how do I find a skill next to my 9-to-5 job, because I struggled with that for years, is I would definitely listen to as many people as possible, you know, like me, like you. So follow this podcast, listen to all the episodes, find out what all those people are doing. And
love that plug.
it's 100% true, right?
Yeah.
Listen to...
That's why I'm doing it, you know.
Exactly. And it's so valuable to find out what's the struggle, not, I have an amazing company now and this is what I do and I'm amazing right now. Yeah, but what was the struggle for you to get there?
Yeah.
You know, did you study marketing and then started your own marketing agency? Okay, I'm not interested in a story. I'm not interested in a story. You're a lawyer, you are a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
and now you are a digital marketer. How did you do that?
Exactly.
So the easiest, and I think the easiest thing to get for everybody to get into online... to earn money online is definitely to start something with digital marketing,
mm-hmm.
go into whatever it is in digital marketing and educate yourself a little bit about this. But a big one which I learned here in Bali is mindset. You have
yes.
to sort out your head. And that's what nobody's doing. Not many people are doing.
I totally agree.
When doing the 9-to-5 job, because we, you know, you wake up, you put, turn on your phone, you go to work, you meet your friends, you go in, whatever you do. And then at night, you close your eyes and you wonder why you can't fall asleep, because you never closed your eyes, you never meditated, you never calmed your mind.
And your nervous system, like proper science stuff, you know?
Yeah. So I studied medicine, and it makes so much sense now in hindsight. Like, nobody taught us that during university, that, guys, when you wake up in the morning, maybe sit up and meditate for 5 minutes and focus maybe just on your chin, focus on your forehead, and just feel your body, feel where you have tension in your body, because you will have a stressful day working as a doctor. Yeah. Nobody said that, you know? Nobody said, maybe you should cut out sugar in the morning. Maybe you should cut out all the breakfast. Maybe you should think about intermittent fasting, you know, all this stuff to increase your productivity. And maybe you should start getting into habits of cutting out more coffee, especially in the morning, to get to stay more awake the whole day, to be more productive, to have more energy. Maybe you should read some personal development books. So number one tip is definitely get your mindset straight. So think about what's bothering you in your head, what stresses you, your father, your mother, your childhood, your past trauma in your childhood. If you have an old friend you hate because he bullied you your whole life, pick up the phone, call him, and just tell him, hey man, you appreciate this person and you have no grudge. And that means forgive everybody in your past. So first step is definitely forgive everybody in your past. Be okay with everything which happened in your past.
Yeah, like freeing yourself from it, essentially.
So you don't have any... Of course, you will do everything you want to get out of your job. You will do because you feel like people treated you unfair in the past, and now you want to show them that you deserve better, and you want to live in Bali, you want to live in Goa or wherever you want to live in, and you will show everybody, and you have this anger. But most important, forgive everybody and do it for you.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, think about what you like to do, and that's the only way to really find it out is try. Really, if you feel like, oh, I want to start Facebook ads, okay, start right away. So right away, you know, if you, oh, I want to start copywriting, start right away. I want to do social media marketing, start right away.
Yeah.
Then you find out after a couple of weeks, okay, I don't want to do it anymore. Good. You found out one thing you don't want to do. Let's try the next one. And then over time, you will find out something that you freaking love doing.
Yeah.
And I found that I love creating events. I love creating, putting people together. And I love creating community to surround myself with the people I want to be surrounded with for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always craved that. And now I'm creating it for myself. And I'm creating it for a lot of people already here in Bali. And now I'm super passionate about creating it for other people in other places. And once, so this is my tips, right? Just get your mindset straight, forgive everybody, and try and error until you find your passion. And once you hit your passion, just double down on it. Double down.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's amazing advice. And I just think the whole story is great, like starting out as a dentist and now you're living in Bali doing these events all over the world. It's such like a different thing, but it just shows to the listeners that if you're doing one thing now, you can completely do something different. It's okay. Okay, so the last thing that I end on is a quick fire round, if that's all right with you. So it's just three questions. So the first one is, what's your favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
That's a tough one.
Lots of people say Bali.
No, it's not Bali. So if people think Bali is the best place to go, it's not. Bali is amazing for community, but there's a lot of traffic, there's a lot of construction, there's a lot of party tourism. The beaches is not clean. The beach is not white. The water is murky. It's not amazing actually to be here. Mm-hmm. The main reason why everybody of us is here, it also gets really expensive here. The main reason is community.
Yeah, that's so true.
Number one, right? We have amazing
and the weather.
And the weather. Right? The weather is amazing. It's true. Brazil, Florianópolis. Okay. It's an island which is. It's like Ibiza, but in Brazil.
Oh, really?
It's amazing.
That sounds wild. I think that to be well in life, you need to do some wild things sometimes and kind of go against the norm. So what's the wildest thing that you've ever done?
wisest thing. Yeah. I did crazy things. I don't know, like backpacking. Yeah, I jumped. Oh yeah, for me, I think one of the craziest things, and it taught me so much of a life lesson. I used to be a snowboard instructor, and I jumped in parks. So I did crazy jumps, but I was not good. But I still wanted to go further, further, and further.
Yeah.
And one day, the good guys we had our shift, and then we stopped at 3 p.m. And at 5 p.m. it was already dark because we're in the Alps in Austria. We went to this one big, big jump. It's like 13-meter jump in the middle with a hole. So you take off, in the middle is just nothing, and then 13 meters later, there's the landing. So it's called a gap kicker.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, it was floodlights because it was already dark. It was like 5 p.m. We hiked up because there was no lift. And then we hiked up. I had my glasses still, so I couldn't. Now I have my eyes lasered. And so we hiked up there. The guys were super pumped because they're doing this every day. And for me, it was the first time with the biggest kick I ever jumped. And they was like, yeah, let's have fun. Let's have fun. They did like the first jump. They did like backflips and front flips. And I mean, so the guy before me, he said, okay, Sasha, when you go, number one thing or the most important thing is don't break. Like, don't. From here, you go straight as fast as possible. If you break a little bit, you will hit the wall of the landing.
Oh, God. Okay.
Are you insane? Okay, so he went. I was the last one. I took off my glasses, put them in my pocket, couldn't see the kicker properly because of all blurry vision. And I just went. And this guy said, no brakes. Okay, no brakes. I was freaking scared as hell.
Yeah.
And then the moment I took off, I got this feeling of just the serotonin adrenaline rush overcame me, and I felt so good and so calm in the air, and I nailed the landing.
Amazing. I wasn't sure what the ending was gonna be.
It just taught me so much life lessons. You know, if somebody with experience tells you to just go through your fears, you know, and you just do it, you can come out of the end just, you know, you see how easy it was.
Yeah, definitely. Love that as an answer. Okay, and then the final one is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received? Or something that you kind of live by, like your mantra that you live by?
Positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate negativity. Yeah. Of course, there's realism. Realism, so I love people who are real with me. They tell me this is bullshit, that doesn't work. If they give me a good explanation. So, but you know, if something, you know, let's say you do a new project and of course you don't make money the first weeks, and people say, oh, that will never work, but you believe in it. So you just surround yourself with positive people. You give yourself positive affirmations, and I think just stay positive and don't give up is for me the number one thing.
Yeah. That's such a good piece of advice, and I totally agree with that. We just want positivity. Okay, and where can the listeners find you if they want to get in touch?
You can all find on Facebook. It's Big Tribe Bali. For the Bali groups, also on Instagram, but most of it is on Facebook. But then also we have the global one is Big Tribe World.
Okay.
So Big Tribe World is the handle for Instagram and for Facebook. And the homepage so far is bigforum.world, but we're going to rebrand it now to bigtribe.world.
Okay.
So it's bigtribe.world, Big Tribe World, and Big Tribe Bali.
Okay. And I'll link all of those in the show notes so that you can find them. But Sasha, thank you so much for coming on. I think
thanks
that was an amazing episode. So many helpful tips and insights. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you go. That's a wrap. That's the end of episode 15. I hope that you enjoyed it. I'd be very grateful if you could leave a review or share with one friend. It would be great to kind of grow the reach of this podcast and share Sasha's message with more people. I will speak to you next week, and thanks for listening.